Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Leslie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thanks, Laura. Great to be here.
So happy to have you back. So tell us what you've been up to.
Oh, lots of things. I constantly reading, right? So many books to get through. But on the blog, recently I published the Romance Book Reading Journal, which people can find on Amazon. So that was a huge milestone and so excited to have that up. Constantly creating some new lists. And what else? Making my way through the Romance Book Reading Challenge and having some fun.
So what is this month's challenge? Which kind of book are you reading this month?
This month's challenge is office romance.
Ooh.
So yes, and I'm going to totally blank on what is, I am reading, well, listening. I actually hardly ever listen to audiobooks, but we recently went on vacation and we were in the car. So I'm listening to Always Only You by Chloe
Lisa.
Yeah, so I love hockey romance and the fact that, you know, he's a hockey player and she works for the team. I thought that would fit, so.
Yes, Chloe's a good friend of mine. And so I'm so excited to other people are discovering her series. It's like, it's to discover. And she has a book coming out, a Shakespeare retelling coming out with Berkeley next fall. So, which sounds really good. It's like fake relationship, but I think they're being placed together and they're in a fake relationship and they're like, they realize that like they're been matched and they're like, they want to break up or some sort. It looks like a lot.
Sounds cute.
So it sounds cute enough. So, but I really love Always Only You. I really love that book. Like, Francesca. So it's just like she's like so grumpy.
Yeah, she is grumpy. And he's like the total opposite, like this sweetheart, like, oh, you're such a good book boyfriend. Like, oh, I love you. Yeah, adorable. Yeah.
So good. So today we're chatting about indie books. So it's a good chance that you mentioned Chloe's because that's an indie book to start. Do you have any recommendations of authors or people? Because when we think about indies, we get overwhelmed by like the amount of options that are out there. What can be your own starter pack? Like which ones were your like go-to gateways that you discover within the indie publishing?
Yeah, I think you're totally right because I think even the romance book genre in general, I mean, it's so huge, right? And that it can be overwhelming to know where to start, you know, and I think a lot of the traditionally published authors get most of the attention when there are so many great indie authors. And on She Reads Romance Books, I do have a list post on, I call it my like romance starter kit, where I list a number of book recommendations based on like the subgenre. Like if you like sports romance, try these titles, or if you like romantic suspense, try these titles. But a couple of my favorites, let's see, I'll start with Kate Stewart. She might be my top favorite indie author because every one of her books I absolutely love. Drive is her love triangle sort of focused on music in Nashville book. And I mean, I just can't put any of her books down. They're just phenomenal. And they make pretty much my all-time favorite book lists, which is pretty rare. So I love Drive. Her Underdog series is a college romance books. Mm-hmm. And I loved The Guy in the Middle. It's sort of a football player turned boxer. And he sort of falls for the like ugly duckling kind of heroine. And I mean, I just highlighted so many phrases from that scenes from that book that I still like think about to this day. I just loved it. And then lastly, her trilogy that most recently came out, Flock, was book one, Exodus and the Finish Line. Have you read those?
No, but they've been really popular in book talks.
Oh my gosh. Like seriously, those books will just consume you. And then after you're done, you're like, I need to go back into that world. Like they are just phenomenal. Like A, the characters, the storyline, her writing, just, I loved it. So Kate Stewart is definitely one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see who else. Penny Reed, I would say, is a top indie author. She was probably one of the first indie authors that I read. The Winston Brothers series, I just love and really hope gets made into a TV show at some point. It's like small town romance with a little bit of this underlying story that goes through all the seven books about this motorcycle club, you know, and it was just really cool, fun characters and neat stories, as well as her Knitting in the City series. A group of women who are all very different, but they come together and they knit. And each of their books are really different, but, you know, are connected as well. My favorite in that series was Love Hacked. The heroine is a psychologist and she ends up just like going on all these dates and every date leaves crying because she's like psychoanalyzing them or whatever. And so she never can find this guy. And then she ends up falling for this younger, he's 21, virgin hero. And their relationship was just really cool. And, you know, Penny Reed's all about smart romance. And so in that book, she talks about Bitcoin. So that was the first I'd ever heard of Bitcoin. So I'm learning about all this stuff too. So it was a great book.
I have to read this. I love something about like older heroine, younger men is by far like catnip for me. Like the older, like, you know, the age gap is all, I'm all for it. So
are you really?
Yeah.
Then you would definitely like this one. It's yeah. Cause I don't know if the age, well, maybe the age gap is huge. I mean, she's definitely older than 21, but they just were a really, really good couple and just had these great conversations. And like she had to learn that she didn't have to fix him. You know what I mean? Like, so it was really cool.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Let's see, should I keep going listing some more of my faves?
Yeah.
If people love sports romance, mm-hmm. Megan Quinn,
mm-hmm.
She indie publishes, though she's doing a little bit more traditional publishing too, but oh my gosh, her Brentwood Baseball Boys series, mm-hmm. I love. I mean, I actually would recommend not starting with the first one, The Locker Room. Yeah. I would go to book two and three, which are two of my all-time favorite books. Mm-hmm. Maybe go back to one at some point. It's sort of my least favorite, but the whole series I just devoured because I love the banter that she writes between her characters. So funny and great characters. Jason in the lineup, I think, is sort of like one of my all-time favorite book boyfriends. He's just this, you know, unicorn of an awesome guy, like has the full, you know, package, if you will. Mm-hmm. And she just came out with just started a new hockey series. The first book in that is called Kiss and Don't Tell. Did you read that one?
No, I did not know that she has a hockey series. I'm like, I'm all for it. I had an issue with The Locker Room because it had an 8-year time jump and I felt that there needed to be a second chance romance. It should not be like 8 years is a big enough time jump that requires some more extra work. And so that's like my issue. But then I powered through and read the rest of the series and I was like, oh, they're fine. It's just like those time jumps were like require more work.
Yes. And it was like kind of, it didn't feel good, you know, with that story. I was really kind of bummed by it. So mm-hmm. I hope people don't, yeah. So skip that one, read the other two, and then you'll come back to get that story. But the rest are really good. But the hockey one, oh my gosh. So I love, you know, Brentwood Boys. I'm like, oh, I got to hear all these guys' stories. So then she came out with Kiss and Don't Tell is the first one. And I loved it. But she sort of set the stage for all the other like hockey guys in that story. And I'm like, I need each of their stories. They sound so compelling. So I think she's going to come out with a second one soon. So love them. Yeah. Let's see. Another favorite. And she was probably another one of my first indie authors to explore was J.T. Geisinger.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read any of hers?
I started a mafia romance this week, and then I put it down because I figured pick something up, pick a college hockey, no, a regular hockey romance, but it's on my list of like mafia romance to try out.
Yeah, she's been writing those. Yeah, those are maybe like 5 mafia romance books as of late, but I really, and I love those, but I love her earlier works like the Wicked Sexy series, and I think Wicked Sexy was the second book in that series, and I was just pulled in. I'm normally not a romantic suspense kind of person, but this what sort of fits that trope, but I was like, oh my gosh, I can't put this down. The heroine is this like badass hacker, and she was just amazing and had this great like push-pull with the hero, and it was just a really, really good book. Melt for You was her like neighbors to lovers book with this rugby player and a girl who is really trying to get the attention of her boss, but doesn't really have the greatest self-esteem about her body and so forth. And so he's like trying to coach her, like, you're wonderful, and this is how you can get his attention. But you know how those books go. He's like, wait a minute, why am I helping her to get this guy's attention when I think she's amazing? And
yeah,
that was definitely one of my all-time favorite books too. So
I'm adding
yeah. So any of these authors, they're kind of like my one click indie authors for sure. Yeah, a few like new people I'm finding indies that maybe aren't so popular. I don't even know who this woman is. I think it's even a pen name, but Bethany James. Mm-hmm. She wrote, and I think I've read this book 5 times, and I recommend it all the time for people who like erotic romance,
mm-hmm.
or who want to try out erotic romance, see if it's their thing. It's a shorter book. It's not quite novella size, just maybe a little bit bigger, but it's called My Personal Bad Boy.
Yeah.
And it's about this girl who puts out this personal ad, like aka Craigslist in a way, looking for, I mean, who in the heck would do that in this day and age? But anyway, she puts out this ad to find someone to help her like explore her sexuality, right? And so mm-hmm. she meets this guy, and you know, it's true erotic romance, which really they end up falling in love based on their like meetups, you know, and what they do. But I just thought the writing was great. It was such a good intro to erotic romance for me. The characters I thought were really had sort of great backstories. So that's always one that I recommend. And she wrote that one, Bethany James, and then she wrote this other series of 3 called Watch, Watching, and Watched. Obviously, it's all about like voyeurism.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's written any other books since these, because I'm always like, are you writing more? Come on, let me see. But those, all 3 of those were really great too. If someone's sort of in the, you know, interested in voyeurism, they were pretty hot and steamy, but not maybe as quite as My Personal Bad Boy. So Bethany James, yeah. And then one of my favorite MM romance authors, have you read Nev Wilder at all?
Yeah, tell me.
She's wrote this series, college MM romance books, started with the book Want Me. And literally this book, I was like, this book is going to catch on fire. The more scenes that I read, because they just kept getting more and more like hot between these 2 guys who were college roommates. You know, one, you know, is supposedly straight, but then things sort of change and, you know, they're exploring. And it was just like, oh, fanning myself reading this whole story. And then the other books in this series are pretty cool too. So Nev Wilder is kind of this indie authors that I just happened to come upon and loved her work. So
I love this. I love this. Like, I'm finding new authors for me to discover. And that's the whole point of this podcast.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I try to do that like every month, either with the challenge, my romance book reading challenge or something, to really just, you know, try somebody new, because there are so many that it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you find recommendations? Like, how do you get your books, like, to figure out what books to read? Do you follow the algorithm on Amazon? Do you check out Goodreads, or, like, you know, what are some of your go-to sources of recommendations?
That is a good question. I do use Goodreads quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I know at the beginning too, and I love when authors, like, I look at authors' Goodreads pages and what they read and recommend. So I look at sort of my favorite authors and then what do they like? So let me check them out. And that would lead me to new authors. So that was always a fun sort of pathway. Mm-hmm. And now it's sort of just from names that I keep hearing and repeating. And so then if their new book comes out and the story seems compelling, and, you know, if they're on Kindle Unlimited, that's such an easy gateway to try somebody new. Mm-hmm. Then I'll snag it. But I think, yeah, Goodreads is usually a good start for me.
That's
how about you?
Yeah. I get them from random places. BookTube is definitely helpful. Every so often I get them from, because I interview authors most of the time, so I hear from the authors and mention books, and sometimes they mention, like, specifically if I ask authors like romance recommendations, they'll give me some of them. And like, I found like a hidden gem. My latest hidden gem was Diana Quincy and Nisha Sharma both mentioned Mila Finelli's mafia romance. She only has two books out. So good. Remember I was editing the podcast. I was looking at book slam and I was like, oh, let me just read that. And I was like, I could not stop reading this book. Like, and
that's awesome.
So it's kind of like fun, but I think listening to the show, like, or because I have to edit the show and talk to the authors, if I hear the recommendation multiple times and I'm like, oh, let me just pick it out. I also have like an ongoing wish list on Kindle Unlimited, like a one of the Amazon wish lists. With Kindle Unlimited titles. And so I actually just like save titles if I hear them. And sometimes I go back to the wish list and I'm like, oh, this, which one looks good? Because I always have 20 books borrowed.
Yeah.
And there are other times it's like depends on the mood, like what mood strikes, like, you know. Mm-hmm.
And I also like find new authors where, like, I have a post on all these like legit places where you can get free books, right? You know, whether you sign up for BookBub or, you know, other places like that. So, I mean, my Kindle is overflowing with so many books, right? So that's also just a place that I'll just be like, oh, that book sounds kind of cool. I'll grab it. It's free. And then I'll go back and be like, I'll check this person out. So that's sort of a helpful gateway too. I'm like, oh, free book, sure, I'll check it out, you know.
Yeah, I got better from free books because I used to get them so much, and then I was like, I'm never reading them, like, I'm never gonna go. It's just the same thing with me in ARCs. I get pretty much every ARC that I want. It's like, it's a privilege, I understand, you know, it is a privilege. And at the same time, like, sometimes I'm like I just need like a break from it. And so I try to like look for, like, I miss the days where I was like, I look at Amazon and said, like, I'm looking for so and so, and then the algorithm will give me like what I need.
You know?
And nice. Like, other people has bought out this book, and you're like, oh, I've seen this cover multiple times. Like, oh, maybe I'll pick that one up. You know?
Yes, exactly.
So,
and I find like a lot of indie authors, well, not a lot, but a couple have sort of started their own, like, publishing pieces. So I think that's helped me too. Like, Penny Reed is one of them. You know, she started Smarty Pants Romance. So two authors that I've found from them, though I want them to write more because I loved their book. Like Chelsea Edwards with Upsy Daisy. Oh my gosh, loved that book. And there's so many great characters in it. So I'm like, when are you writing more? Because I will eat that up, you know? And Hope Ellis is another one with Been There, Done That. It's sort of her billionaire second chance romance book. So finding new authors that way was kind of cool, because I'm like, all right, if Penny Reed thinks these people can write, then I'll check them out, you know. And Serena Bowen is the same with her publishing group, right? So the Mu Yu series is one of them. And I read Blindsided by Victoria Denault. And I loved that book. It was an enemies to lovers, like college book, kind of similar to like a Romeo and Juliet without their ending, like feuding families. And so after I read that one, I'm like, all right, I'm going to check out more of her stuff. And so I sort of read one or two of her other books. So I guess that goes back to favorite authors and their recommendations. So
yeah, I think it's like it's a hidden gem trying to find like recommendations, like to be like, oh, like this one sounds good, or this like mm-hmm. or these books are like being published. There was a challenge that I wanted to do, and I may do it at some point, is to look at, you know, my Kindle. I do have ads in my Kindle, and to read the books that my ads are popping up, like which ones, to see like, are they good or are they not good? Like
right.
Is the algorithm telling me what I'm supposed to be reading, you know? I think like I'm always curious and be like, okay, is it worth reading, you know? Is it worth my time or not?
Right. And you know, this would be a whole nother conversation too, but that kind of brings into play too, like how I am a visual person, and I do judge a book by its cover, you know, a lot of the time, right? Which, you know, really, what does a cover really mean? You know, but that does play into like, do I want to read this book even though I don't know this person, you know, or not, which is, you know, crazy, but yeah.
So speaking of covers, there's a lot of conversation about like now, because of book talk, people are asking for discrete covers or mm-hmm. alternate covers. What are your thoughts around that? Like, are you okay? Like, personally, I don't buy the books. I only buy Kindle. I only read Kindle. Like, it's not, I'm not the target audience for it. But I'm like, really? Do we need to call it discreet? Like, you know, like.
I have sort of mixed feelings too. Well, one, I'm always on my Kindle too, so it doesn't really affect me that much. And I wrote a post, this was probably 2 years ago, about the trend going towards more graphic covers versus the, you know, the male model or, you know, human model cover. And I kind of really balked at that trend because that made me feel like that book should be more chick lit. And so that was sort of blurring the line because I didn't want to read just women's chick lit. I wanted to know I was reading a romance book, you know, and there's been a couple of times where I'm like, this book is not what I thought it was based on the book blurb. So this whole idea of, yeah, more clean or whatever you call them, book covers, I'm kind of like, who are we? Well, ultimately, why? Because are you embarrassed? Like, well, why should you be embarrassed? You know, like, you know, it goes back to like, own it. There are so many, you know, dollars being made in this industry. And why did 50 Shades become so huge? Because we love it, you know? So I don't know. Maybe if you're taking it to work and you don't want to walk in, I mean, but stuff it in your bag, like, you know, I mean, yeah, get a Kindle. Like, I don't know. I think that's putting a lot of pressure, one, maybe on authors, and two, I think it's blurring, like, for people to know, what are you going to read, you know? So I don't know. That would, for me, like a nondescript cover, you know, wouldn't really tell me what if I'm reading a romance or not.
Yeah, I think that's like an issue. I'm like, it's the whole point is like, I feel like, it's patriarchy, you know?
Yes, exactly. Like, that is exactly my
point. Like, yeah. I feel ashamed that I have a clinch cover. Yes. And there's a couple and blah, blah, blah. It's the same with illustrator covers. Illustrator covers came out because YA readers were starting to read romance. And so they were like, in order for them to buy into the books, they were like, we'll give them trade paperbacks and we'll give you illustrated covers, we'll give you like cutesy rom-coms, and we're gonna sell everything rom-com, which you know it's not the case. And so now we have book talk saying like, we want discreet covers. You know, we'll buy the book and we want discreet covers. And because book talks are buying the books, people are like, okay, I guess we have to give you discreet covers. But I'm like, really? you know?
Well, and one of my other indie authors that I love, Amy Dawes, I don't know if you've read any of her books. But yeah, she just came out with her email being like, here are my new discreet covers. And I'm like, what? Yours weren't even like that crazy. I mean, sort of like a dirty chest on a soccer player, but like, come on. Now I'm staring at a soccer goal with a soccer ball.
Yeah, she posted a TikTok about it. She's like, there was a comment. She's like, hey, can you do discreet cover? She's like, of course I will. And I'm just like, really? Really, TikTok? First of all, I don't trust TikTok a lot of times because I'm like, what they think is spicy is not spicy. What they think it's like romance, it's not romance. And what they think it's like, you know, taboo, it's can be considered rape, you know, like there are a lot of things. I'm like, you know, like 2022 sensitivities are not being taken care of, you know. So true.
Yes. No, I totally agree with that. That seems like outside, like you said, patriarchal influences that are changing that. And I'm like, no, that's BS. Like, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. We've been doing this for so long. Like, seriously.
Yes. Yeah. Give me my good covers. And yeah, I have a whole list on my website. You can check them out of sexy book covers, ones that I think I'm like, I love these, you know. I have book covers of couples and of course the male models and just, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, these are my favorites. So
yes. And we have moved away from the time of Fabio. So it's like we're in a different space. We're no longer in Fabio stands. So yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, let's see. Tell us where you can find online. Tell us all about the blog.
The blog is She Reads Romance Books. Would love to have everybody check it out for great book lists, book reviews, my romance book reading challenge and the reading journal and some fun book quizzes. So lots of things to enjoy and check out, whether you're a newbie reader, you know, and new to indie authors or people who have been loving romance for years and just looking for some new great titles. So I hope people find the best books worth reading. And the best book boyfriends to collect. So
I love this. Thank you, Leslie, for being on the show.
Oh, it's always so fun to be here. Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.